Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in our first study from the book of Philippians, which is our introductory material. And we've had two podcasts about the history of the city of Philippi, history of the congregation, and then kind of an overview of the book. And today we're going to look at just the introductory verses, verses 1 and 2, to wrap up our introductory material. That tells us about who is writing and who he's writing to. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul and Timothy are the ones behind this letter. I think it's interesting. Sometimes we always say Paul wrote these letters, but like 1 Thessalonians, he says it was Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Here it's Paul and Timothy. So how much collaboration was done there, I'm not sure. But anyway, that's who's behind this letter for sure. But he describes them as being servants, or your translation may say bondservants or slaves of Christ Jesus.
Yeah, his first description of them, I think, is interesting, that they're not apostles. They're not, you know, he doesn't talk about all the things I guess he could talk about. Paul will eventually talk about his past and his reputation and whatever, but he introduces himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That has the, you know, it's automatically putting into place his relationship with Jesus. He's wanting to be a servant of his, and he owes, the bondservant is one that owes a debt, and so he owes a debt to the Lord, and so he recognizes that that's the kind of relationship that he has with Jesus as he opens up this letter.
Yeah, and the only way you can be a servant is if you have the right understanding of yourself and your position. And we talked about that, you know, others before self. You'll hear those three words a lot in this study of Philippians. But others before self is the mindset that both he and Timothy have. And he's writing to the saints. You know, we think of saints, sometimes we think of some sort of special kind of idea. It's funny, we would never use that. Well, I'm no saint, but, well, that's exactly the word that Paul uses the most to describe followers of Jesus or members of the church. It has to do with the quality of character, your spiritual status. Those that are in Christ are saints because they're holy and they're set apart. All Christians are saints and should, you know, view themselves as that way. And he's writing it, he says, to the overseers.
Yeah, there's kind of this idea that the leadership of the church in Philippi didn't come on until later, but you know, he addresses here in verse 1 that there's Christians, there's saints, there's members of this church, but he wants to include here, says, including the overseers and deacons, but these overseers are the elders, the shepherds, and you know, you can go back and see, you know, that eldership, leadership role in the church and what that looks like. But, you know, it also kind of points to the fact, I think, that this church had continued to grow and develop from where we saw them last in Acts 16, where, you know, they've done the right things as far as leadership is concerned. They've established leadership. They have, you know, they're a fully functioning church, or at least, you know, they should be. And so this is kind of pointing to, you know, he's including their leadership as well.
Yeah, this word just means ones that oversee or make sure the job gets done, managers, you might say. So they're the ones making decisions in matters of judgment. They're the ones who are maintaining spiritual credibility. They're the guys who are not lording over, as we talked about in 1 Peter, but they are, they're the ones who are the A pastor sometimes is used. One that would be feeding a flock. They're shepherds. In other words, these are the spiritual leaders of the congregation. And you'll notice as you study through the New Testament that there's always a plurality of these leaders in a congregation. There always was. There was never a time where he said to the shepherd of a congregation or to the overseer of a congregation or to the pastor of a congregation. It was, there were several. There was a plurality of them. And, you know, they work as a group, not as individuals. And then that other group there is the deacons, which literally is just ministers or servants, so to speak. And, you know, that both of these terms can be used generically, but I think here the way he's talking saints, overseers, deacons, he has more in mind of a 1 Timothy chapter 3 kind of an elder, 1 Timothy chapter 3 involved, kind of deacon, right?
Yeah, it's a leadership role that's kind of involved there. He's talking about all these different groups, and I think this is kind of just pointing to, you know, we're covering all the groups, but I also want the leadership, and I want those who have been put in leadership roles to pay special attention here, because you know what we're about to get into is important.
Yeah, and in that work of a deacon, there's no authority inherent in the name. The only authority they have is what would be given to them by the elders. But when you give somebody a task, you need to give them the authority to get the task done.
Right.
Whatever, whether it's a 1 Timothy 3 deacon or it's a minister or it's a member of the congregation, if you give them a task, give them the authority to get that job done. Again, wisdom would cause someone to ask questions, and the wise deacon will inform and communicate, but wise elders will not try to be micromanagers. They'll let the deacons serve. They'll let the ministers minister and those types of things. But deacons must meet the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, just like the elders must. They must have a job to do. If they don't have a work, they're not a deacon, because that's...
It's kind of in the role. If you're going to be a servant, you got to have somewhere you're serving.
That's exactly right. If you're going to minister, you got to have a ministry. Yeah. And so some just appoint deacons for a specific work, and he's appointed a deacon. And then when that work is over, he's no longer a deacon, and there's nothing wrong with that. That would keep us from having deacons that are deacons in name only, at least. But anyway, there's always a need for elders in the church. Not necessarily always a need for deacons in a congregation, but there's always a need for elders in the church. And, you know, this idea of others before self, if we're going to have the right idea, one of my favorite movie quotes of all time, you've heard me say this many times, but one of my favorite ones, one of all time, comes from Remember the Titans. And you've got the two defensive players that are at camp, and they're fussing and fighting about their attitude and whatnot. Because Julius says, well, I'm going to get mine. And Radeer says, well, that's a terrible attitude to have. He's the captain of the team. And Julius says, well, attitude reflects leadership, Captain. And it does. And if we're going to have an attitude in a congregation of others before self, it's got to begin with the spiritual leaders. If you want an evangelistic congregation, you have to have evangelistic leaders. If you want to have a welcoming congregation, you have to have welcoming leaders. If you want to have others before self, humility in a congregation, then you got to have that in the leadership as well.
And I think that's a big reason why Paul and Timothy addressed themselves first and foremost as bond servants of Jesus Christ, because it points that immediately to, you know, first and foremost, we're servants, you know, and it's pointing to the one that we're all supposed to be serving. And so in having a humility-heavy book, it's an important note to show, you know, this is their attitude walking into it. And then address the leaders in that same way.
Yep. So that sets the stage for what he's going to tell them. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That idea of grace and peace is so important, not only because those are common greetings.
Especially for Paul.
Especially for Paul. But what does this congregation need to learn? They need to learn that just as they receive grace from God, they need to give grace to each other.
And they certainly need peace right now.
And they certainly need peace. And you can't be at peace with God and not be at peace with his children. Yeah. And so that sets the table for the rest of this study, and we hope that you'll continue along with us through our journey through Philippians. We hope you'll like, share, subscribe, tell others about Scripture Spotlight. We hope you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes a day with us as we dig into God's Word to find the message that He has for us in our lives, including others before self, here on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.